Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again today. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. And before we get started, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct by your Holy Spirit. May your will be accomplished in all things. Father, that the lost could be drawn to your Son, and that we that are saved could have a closer walk with you and be the light in this world that you've called us to be. Father, we ask for these blessings. We ask you to remember their prayer requests. Remember our nation. Remember those that are sick, those that have lost loved ones, those that are dealing that with hardships and time. We pray that your will would be accomplished. And Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Again, the last few weeks we've been dealing with in chapter 4 how that God has called us to be a new creature, and we're not to walk in the ways of the flesh, but we're to walk in the Spirit. And even last week about not grieving the Holy Spirit, allowing sin to be in our life, but how we're to be tender-hearted, how we're to be kind, how we're to remove bitterness and malice and things like that out of our life, that we can be the people that God has called us to be, even forgiving others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And we begin in chapter 5 and verse 1, looking back at all the things, not just in chapter 4, but chapter 3, chapter 2, he's just pressing forward, continuing to grow as he's writing this epistle to the church. Says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now let's stop right there for just a moment. And let's use some modesty. There's a difference between being a child and being a dear child. You say, "Oh, I love all my children the same." We do. And I can say that. I think my son asked me that question not too long ago, if we love the same. And I said, "I love you the same." I said, "I have the same love and care for you." And I said, "But y'all are also different." And I said, "There's different things I do with your sister, and there's different things I do with you, and there's different ways I can talk to you versus her." And it goes back and forth. And I said, "But as time goes on," I said, as people honor and serve, I said, "there might be things that I'm more prone to do for somebody that loves me in return." I said, "It's just human nature. It's just the way things are." And I'll tell you this in Scripture, where God has no favoritism. God is no respecter of person. I'll tell you what he is a respecter of: obedience. All throughout the Scripture, he talks about people that are being disobedient, how their prayers will be hindered. And he talks about how those who are righteous, not just righteous because of their faith in Christ, but live righteously and serve the Lord. And you know, even as Abraham was talked about, he had to go to him and tell him what he was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, "How am I going to keep this from him? You know, he leads his whole house after me." You know, and because of his faithfulness, you know, God desired to give him more information. Same way with Noah, same way with Moses. We can allow God to have a closer relationship. I want to remind people that after we're saved, this is a relationship with God. And a relationship takes two people. If you're just using God and just coming to him when you want, think about that. Think about if you have a child that the only time you hear from them is when they want something. They don't care about you. They've got no time for you. And if you try to call upon them, they're always busy, never got time for you. And then you got another child that comes by the house, checks on you, sees how you're doing, has love, concern about you, make sure everything's all right, especially even in your older age. There's children, then there's dear children. I think people know this. And it's not, again, that you love one above the other, but one has allowed more of a relationship to develop. And it doesn't matter whether it's with parents or grandparents. You know, even with grandparents, there's some grandchildren that come by and see you. There's some that don't. There's some that listen to you when you try to teach them stuff, and there's some that don't. And you can share more with those who are willing to listen and those who are willing to build that relationship. And sometimes you have maybe a closer relationship with a child, not because you love that child more than the others, but because that child has allowed you to have a greater fellowship. And it makes a difference. And it makes a big difference. And it makes a difference on, you know, your understanding, willingness to hear, and things of this. And he says, listen, you need to be followers of God, not just as children, but as dear children. Now, with that, we need to ask this, has God been dear unto us? Now, he's forgiving us for our sins. We read that back in verse 32 of chapter 4. And how we use that even as we forgive others. Is it not common sense that God is going to do more for those who serve Him, who honor Him, who have fellowship with Him on a regular basis? I mean, there's some people that claim to be a children of God that it's been years since the last time they actually had an honest conversation with God. It's been a long time since they repented of anything. And so their relationship with God is very distant. Not because God chose it to be that way, but because they chose it to be that way. But God's been dear unto us. He rebukes, He chastens, He corrects, He instructs. He loves, He helps. He's there in time of need. But let's be honest, if you had a child that only showed up every time they needed some money, and you got another child that shows up not because they need money, but because they follow the work ethic you taught them, because they're out there living, and they just show up because they love you. I tell you, the relationship is different. And again, it has nothing to do with the individual. God not being a respecter of persons means He doesn't respect family name, riches, all these other things. He's not a respecter of person in that sense. But He is a respecter of faithfulness. And that is clear throughout Scripture. And any one of us from any background can be faithful to the Lord. It takes no money to be faithful to the Lord. It doesn't take riches, a nice house, a nice car, anything. Listen, I can tell you right now, there's people in third world countries that are a lot more faithful to God and have a closer walk with Him than possibly anybody here in America. I'm not saying that it has to be that way, and I'm not saying there's not people just as close in America to God as there is in some other places. But I'm telling you that if we're not careful, we'll treat God kind of like a genie or something, and we just show up to get what we want. That's not how God works. But if we love Him, we serve Him, we honor Him with our life, we follow Him with our heart, there's some big differences there, and we need to follow Him as dear children, because we certainly have a dear Heavenly Father. And with that, He says, and walk in love. And that love needs to be the center of everything we do. You know, we talk about stuff like rebuking, exhorting, and church discipline, and things of these natures, things that are foreign to a lot of people. And that a lot of people that even go to church don't understand a lot of what these things represent. But yet when we do anything, it's about love. When we share the gospel, it's about love. When we preach against sin, it's so that people can repent, not so that we can say, well, we're better than they are because we don't do this. It's about calling people to repentance. It's about helping people to see their need of Christ. And we need to walk in love in all that we do. Even if I'm rebuking somebody, it needs to be out of love. He says, as Christ also hath loved us and had given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And remember, Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, and He's telling us, We need to aim to be that kind of son. We need to aim to be that kind of child of God. Our aim is Christ. And of course, a lot of Christian statement is, well, I'll never be like Christ. No kidding. None of us can be Christ, but we can aim to be like Him. We can make sure that our mind thinks like Him. We can make sure that our actions follow Christ. And while we'll never make 100, that's the mark that we're pressing toward. Our mark is to be as much like Christ as we possibly can be, to be dear children of God. And we're to remember how He loved us, and we're to remember that we're to love in the same way. There were people that walked away from God, and how did Christ love them? Well, you vipers and hypocrites. Some rebuke. Some calling out of sin. And the reason is, they put themselves up as godly people, and they weren't. They were following their religion. They weren't following God. And listen, I know there's a lot of people going, well, church is nothing but religion. Listen, Christianity is religion. And there is true doctrines, and there is a true church. And if you're not following those things, you're definitely not following Christ. If you're saying, I have a great relationship with God at home, well, you're not following Christ. Because He said to glory Him in the church. Back chapter 3, verse 21. And there's a lot in Ephesians about how we honor the Lord. In fact, most of the epistles are written about how we fellowship with one another, how we love one another, how we correct one another, how we instruct one another, how we encourage one another in the doctrines, how we hold people accountable to the Word of God, even hold the ministers accountable to the Word of God, and how those ministers meet qualifications out of the Word of God. And the people that send them out is the church. Church is pretty important. And the fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, pretty important. If we're going to be known by how we love one another, especially in that local, visible body, these things pretty much matter. And there's a lot of people that try to throw off, well, I don't have to be at church. You need to be at church. You need to be active at church. You need to be active with the members of the church. You need to be working together for the glory of God. He put these things in the church. Some apostles, some evangelists, and I know the apostles' office is done away with, but evangelists is missionaries. Prophets means teachers. There's just some that are more advanced than others, but you also need Sunday school teachers. You also need people that are able to instruct in basic doctrine. You need pastors. There are things that are needed. And they're needed in the church. And there's people sometimes say, well, I feel closer to God in a tree stand or on a boat than I do in the church house. Then you're not close to God, you're closer to you. And that's what you love. And if you feel like God is allowing you to skip church to go do what you love, then that's where you feel better at. But I tell you what, a true child of God, according to Scripture, they love being around their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they do not forsake the gathering of themselves together as the manner of some is. We try to make God into our image, and we try to make Him fit us instead of fitting ourselves to Scripture. And I love the outdoors as much as anybody. My dear friend, I love being with my brothers and sisters in Christ more. Now, he says we need to love. And remember, if we love God, what do? The Bible says if we love God, we will keep His commandments. Some people say, oh, there's liberty in Christ. There He is. But His liberty moves us to serve Him. If your liberty is allowing you to sin, and it's not the liberty of God, that's the liberty of self. Because notice what he follows verse 2 with about loving God and how Christ offered himself as a sacrifice to God and how we're to be a living sacrifice to God. But fornication. Start digging in. What is fornication? That is any sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage. And you can go back to the Sermon on the Mount. What does it mean if I look at another woman and lust at her from my heart? If you turn on a football game and you're lusting after a cheerleader that's on there, what have you committed? You committed adultery in your heart, which is also a form of fornication. If you're focused on sexual things all the time and you're watching pornography, looking at dirty magazines, looking at women that's not your wife, fornication. We need to understand what fornication is. And I'll say this, there's also spiritual fornication. And we commit that when we go against the teachings of God in Christ. There's a lot of people committing spiritual fornication and they don't realize it. And I'll tell you what, pornography doesn't just mean an X-rated movie. It can mean you like watching R-rated movies with a whole lot of perverted stuff in it. You're just waiting to see somebody naked. There's a whole lot of sexuality in things that God's people shouldn't be looking at. Sometimes it's in books that they're reading. We need to be careful to make sure what we have in our lives is honoring God. We need to make sure that we're following Him and serving Him and doing those things that are honorable in His sight. These things are valuable and important. And so leave all fornication. He said, in all uncleanness. All uncleanness. The Bible teaches us that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little leaven, a little bit of sin, does a whole lot of damage. And let's be honest, our churches are filled with sin. Years ago, I was talking to a man where I pastored. And he said, we just need a day where everybody in the church comes up and makes some apologies. And I made the statement, when are we going to start? I even asked the man, I said, when are you going to lead? And we all try to lead and we all try to do some things, but listen, dear friend, we've got to follow the Lord. We've got to accomplish what God wants us to do. And when we allow even a little sin in our life, a little bit of covetousness, a little bit of greed, a little bit of envy, these things are damaging. These things are harmful. And I don't think we've noticed just how much we're addicted to the world. Listen, we've got Christians that have no time to read their Bible. They've got no time to pray. But they can stay up all night binge-watching some show on television. Where is their heart? You telling me that's not spiritual idolatry? Spiritual fornication? It is. And we need to be very careful with what we allow and what we're going through. He comes on down and he says, covetousness. Even the Apostle Paul found out that he coveted some things and it convicted him. It's what made him see himself as a sinner. It was unto death. It was unto death. Man, that's so valuable for us to understand and to look at. Covetousness. And what do we covet today? And we covet everything. We covet somebody's body. And I don't mean that you're just having lust towards somebody else. Listen, there's sometimes we're looking in the mirror and we say, man, I wish I had this person's body. I wish I looked this way. You know, wish I had their hair, their nose, or their eyes. All kinds of stuff that people covet. What they're desiring after, what they're longing after. Sometimes we covet vehicles. Sometimes we do covet people. Sometimes we covet somebody's job. For the Apostle Paul, I'm not sure exactly what he coveted, but I'll tell you this, by Scripture we know that he was on up there in the Jewish religion. Did he ever covet somebody's office? Did he ever covet power, prestige? Did he ever covet recognition? There's people that covet fame. There's people that covet money. There's even preachers that covet churches. There's even preachers that covet money. There's all kinds of things that you can covet. You can covet wanting to preach more revivals. You can covet a lot of things. And covetousness is something we've got to watch out for, no matter who we are. But he said this fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Notice that statement. We don't want this to be around us once. No, not even once. He said, neither filthiness. That filthiness doesn't mean dirt. Listen, God doesn't mind us getting our hands dirty. I think it's been proven in Scripture by even some of the people that He chose to follow Him in the 12 that God doesn't mind people that get their hands dirty. In fact, God likes hard work. He likes people that are willing to get to work and get into the fields and labor. God doesn't mind that. That's not the filthiness He's talking about. Although we don't want to just go around filthy, God does want us, you know, to clean up when need be. But the filthiness He's talking about here is filthiness of sin. We don't want that in us. And filthiness begins in the mind, doesn't it? Again, where do you say that adultery started? In the mind. When we look upon something, we desire it from our mind and in our heart. Those things don't need to be within us. Sometimes we can put on a good show outside, but inside we're filthy. God likes to clean from the inside out. So it begins with what's in our heart and what's in our mind. And we need to make sure that our thoughts are the thoughts of God, and that we're following Him. What about this? Nor foolish talking. And listen, laughter's some good medicine sometimes. The Bible tells us that. But there's a difference between some clean humor. There's a difference between a little bit of joking and getting somebody to laugh real quick, and our lives being a joke. And we're just consumed with foolish thinking. And foolish thinking also goes into trying shortcuts to get places. Well, one of the ways of that is, well, my goal to pay all the bills is I'm going to win the lottery. Listen, God told us to earn a living by the sweat of our brow. And I don't care if that sweat comes from you thinking, you hitting the books, or whether you're actually using a hammer or a saw or a wrench or whatever. We're to earn an honest living as God's people. Lottery's about coveting. Lottery's about envy and gambling and these things. Oh, I'm going to hit it rich quick. Those things are foolish. And anybody that knows anything about it knows that the lottery is nothing but a tax on the poor anyway. That's all it is. It's just a way for the government to get money off of poor people. And they also know that most people that win lose everything they win because They don't know how to use it. They don't know how to manage it. And again, because they didn't earn it, it doesn't mean as much to them. An earned dollar means something. Whether it's little or whether it's much. It means something, and the value of it means a lot more. But there's people that love money and will do anything to get it. They'll lie, they'll steal, they'll cheat. And that's all foolish. But foolish talking, gossiping, backbiting, these things are not good. Talking about things we shouldn't talk about. We need to be careful. He says, nor jesting. I think a lot of sin has come into churches and has come into Christians' lives over the years through comedy. I'm not against comedy. I like it when I'm... But I'll tell you this, even the cleanest of comics that I've come across over the years has said some ungodly things, and we need to be careful with it. I mean, I grew up as a fan of Jerry Clower, but there was even some things that Jerry Clower said that didn't fit Scripture. And I enjoy him. My kids still listen to him to this day. They laugh at it all the time. They ask me to put his CDs, on while I'm driving down the road a lot of the time. And I don't mind it. I know most of it's clean. When we get to a part that doesn't fit Scripture, I just say that doesn't fit Scripture. And in my teenage years, Jeff Foxworthy was very big. And I like Jeff. He's hilarious. I still got some of the books that he wrote. But at the same time, I'll say this. Not everything he did was right or good. And some of the things that he talked about was not edifying, especially to God's people. And that's not putting him down in any way. I know the profession he's in, and again, I've tried to boast about both of these men at the same time, but you still have to be careful. But there's people who listen to a lot worse than Jeff Foxworthy or Jerry Clower. Or Bill Cosby. I also listened to Bill Cosby growing up. And of course, his life was mainly what wasn't good. But I'm sure, I haven't listened to every album he ever did, I'm sure there's some things he said, even within his comedy, that wasn't godly, wasn't upright. But I'll tell you again, the main thing that I'm looking at here, there's a lot of people that have sected a whole lot of sin. People talking about explicit sexual things. And getting our minds focused on things that are not godly. Come through a lot of comedy. And I'll even tell you this, there's preachers that try to use comedy in the pulpit to kind of overshadow the fact that they're preaching things that are not scriptural. And they know that if they can get the people to like them and laugh at them, or laugh with them sometimes, that they can get a lot more things by. And there are people that have. Because they like the man, they say, well, he's funny. I like being around him. He's kind of fun to be around. But is it scriptural? And I tell you what, comedy's brought a lot of sins into the world that people have accepted and gone along with that, my goodness, is not good. God said that, notice the statement, not only was it foolish talking or jesting, but there's this statement along with that. Which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Again, there's a time for good laugh. There is. Laughter is good medicine. As long as it's clean, as long as it's upright, there's a time and a place for it. I'm not preaching against that. But we need to make sure it's convenient or it's appropriate. But also, our heart needs to be focused on giving thanks more than just trying to make somebody laugh. And these are just a few thoughts. We'll try to pick back up here next week. We pray this could be a blessing. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message Use it to your honor and glory for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.